Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon. With me, as always, NFL draft analyst and my good friend Ryan Roberts. We're almost done with these position ranking episodes. I'm so sick of this 2024 class. We've reached the most nauseating part of the cycle, but we are of course excited to share with you our top 10s today for the tight ends. Of course, my number 10 is Brock Bowers. He's your number 10, right?
Yes, he definitely is. Joe, weren't you the one that was, I'm not trying to blow up your spot, but weren't you the one that was like, hey man, the further I get into this tight end class, I actually like it a lot more
I texted you to reshift that conversation to add the context here. I had tweeted that this tight end class is pretty bad. It's terrible. Yes. There are maybe 10 draftable guys. I'll be generous. Let's say 12. That's pretty lean for a tight end class. Most of these guys are day three picks, late day two, outside of the elite prospect that we know who we're talking about being Brock Bowers. But what I texted you was pleasantly surprised by a couple of guys that I didn't think were going to be very good that are worthy of going on day two. That's the extent of it.
Can I quantify this class? You can tell me if you think I'm incorrect here.
Okay.
This class, in my opinion, is one elite player, no second tier, and then a bunch of developmental day three guys for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, and me saying that is, of course, there's going to be a couple day two kids. Like, I'm not saying that there's a first rounder and then there's nothing but day three kids. It's a little bit hyperbolic. But what I am saying is that there is one superstar on the board. There are probably 3 to 4 guys you would think about in day two conversation. And then there's a bunch of day three dart throws, which day three dart throws, cool. One of my favorite players in this class, who I have at number 6 on this list, is one of my favorite tight ends in this class, one of my favorite players in this class, because he would be a day three dart throw that I would get super excited about, right? So there's nothing wrong with day three dart throws, but the point is that the second tier of this class is kind of non-existent, man. Like, there is a elite player, huge drop off, smaller tier of tier two type of players, and then another drop off, and then a bunch of day three dart throws, which, again, not another problem with that. But that just kind of means that it's a little bit of a hollow class at the large portion of what you would consider the bulk of this class, or the most exciting part of this class. It's just a little bit hollow after number one.
To essentially sum up what you just said there.
Yes.
We have.
I thought I summed it up perfectly, man. I thought I said that very eloquently.
Well, I'm just reiterating my own thoughts on this. Yes. I don't think that very many of these guys in these top 10s, there's a very low chance that any of these guys in year one really contribute And then a number could maybe develop into really good tight end twos. And then there's probably one or two that could end up being starting tight ends in the right. NFL. And on that note, Ryan, I'm going to start us off sharing my 10 through 6 as we always do. And then we will deep dive on our 5 through 1s. My number 10, Jaheim Bell. Number 9, Tip Raymond from Illinois, which is the tight end on the all-name team in this draft class. Number
what did he say at the combine that was like the goofiest thing?
Birds aren't real. That's a meme. He's not serious. It's a meme, a very dumb meme. I've met a number of people that own those shirts that say birds aren't real. Number 8, Cade Stover from Ohio State. Okay. Number 7, Brevin Spanford from Minnesota. And then number 6, Theo Johnson from Penn State.
Wow, we have a very different list here.
I had a feeling that they were going to be very – I don't think – I really do not believe that we're going to have any crossover except for our number one guys.
All right, well, my disclaimer that I usually do at the beginning of this is that two guys that I did not get a chance to watch, one of which that was in your top 10 was Tip Raymond from Illinois. Did not get a chance to get eyes on him. Dallin Holker from Colorado State also did not get eyes on, so he's not in my top 10. And I decided I was actually going to go to this show and go back like three seasons, I guess, technically in Michigan. I was going to go back and watch him, Eric All, when he was actually good at Michigan. But I mean, he has a big good in several years now. So I decided not to watch him again. My main question here is, I think most people are probably thinking this in the comment section, probably if you want to throw it in there as well. Why do you hate Cade Stover?
I don't hate Cade Stover. I really liked Cade Stover, and actually I watched him. He was one of my earlier watches, and I actually was quite bullish on the grade that I gave him. And then I thought it over after I watched some of these other guys, and I watched them, you know, get their athletic testing. I think that he is probably the highest floor out of any of the players we're discussing today. He is somebody who I think is going to plant himself early as a really good tight end too. And that's his ceiling. I just don't think he's athletic enough to really be more than that. He's a great blocker. You keep on your roster for a long period of time, or he's going to bounce around and keep getting signed by teams to 2-year contracts because they want a really good blocking tight end that provides some impact as a receiver. But again, I would much rather bet on some other traits of some of these other guys, like Theo Johnson. Much more athletic, and I'd like to see what upside he can bring to the table. Could he completely not pan out? Absolutely. Brevin Spanford, much more massive of an athlete. I like his catch radius, and I think that that is a weapon and something that can be difficult to scheme against as a tight end too. You know who he reminds me of? Who was that tight end out of Stanford that was with the Giants, and then he was with somebody
Caden
else?
Smith? Around? Caden Smith? Not Caden Smith. How long ago?
This was very recently.
Wait. Big guy, small guy. Give me a little bit more.
He was huge. He's
Levine Toilolo.
He reminds me of Levine Toilolo. That's who Brevin Spanford reminds me of. So
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Cade Stover, and I'm like, no, I don't see that cop at all. Okay, all right.
But what I was bringing up here is that like what kept Levine Toilolo around was because he was so big and he was a pretty good blocker. So I think Cade Stover has value. It seems like I'm low on him, but I am not low on him.
Okay. And I, you know what the difference is, I think, with our placements of Cade is that I think I have, and I'm going to say this and it's going to sound kind of mean for a second, and don't take it as me because I promise it's not a mean statement. Okay. I just want that disclaimer there. Okay. I think you are trying to sell yourself on some toolsy tight ends that are not
hell yeah
guy. And while I am on the other hand, I'm just like, have kind of accepted what this class is a little bit more, in my opinion, right? Where it's just like, I'm saying I'll take the high floor in this class because I just don't think that this class has a lot of upside as starters, man. I just don't see it.
You gotta risk it a little bit. Okay, you got to have a little bit of risk here. Let's hear your 10 through 6.
I was gonna say, I think I've risked it a little bit. All right, number 10. A.J. Barner, Michigan, former Indiana transfer. Number 9, we had a similar one here. Jaheim Bell, tight end, Florida State, South Carolina transfer. Brevin Spanford, and number 8 for me out of Minnesota. Okay. Number 7, Tanner McLaughlin, tight end out of Arizona. That's exactly where he should be, Joe. Number 6, Jared Wiley, tight end out of TCU.
You have Cade over Jared Wiley.
I sure do. I sure do. Yes.
Okay, quick thoughts on Jaheim Bell. I almost don't even want to consider him a tight end. I think that, dude, if he goes to the 49ers, like I think, good player, right?
Yeah.
I think that with the speculation that they're spending too much money on Kyle Juszczyk and the way that they tried to use Debo before Debo, you know, kind of put his foot down and said, hey, I want to be a receiver. I don't want to get stuck in the running back contract hell.
Right.
I think that Jaheim Bell lands there or in Miami. And he could just be like this really just great gadget. You keep him in the backfield. You split him out. I don't think he's really built to play tight end in the NFL. I'm just going to be just very forward with that.
Can I say a name for you, Joe? And we can talk this one out because I think we think similarly about Jaheim. Jaheim Bell is going to be all about situation, baby. All about it because he is a movement-based football player who's about 6'2", to a little over 240 pounds. He's played H. He's played in the slot a lot, especially at South Carolina. He also played running back at South Carolina because he's a very gifted athlete, but he is kind of a positionless football player. I want to take you, though, back to a young man that came out of Central Missouri, Joe, in the 2006 NFL draft class, okay? His name, Delanie Walker, 6'1¼", 240 pounds, 32-inch arms, ran 4.55 in the 40, 36.5-inch verts. Incredibly small football player, not going to be for everyone, has to be in the perfect situation. And funny enough, you know who Delanie Walker first played for before he caught on with the Tennessee Titans as a big-time football player? He was a San Francisco 49er, okay? And obviously different regime at that point, different offense, but it's just kind of a funny parallel there, right? I do think that there is a reality where Jaheim Bell lands into the right situation and he becomes a impactful football player. Now, it's not going to be impactful in the same way that we're going to quantify Brock Bowers being impactful or Jatavion Sanders being impactful because he's just never going to be that guy that can be a true inline guy that can play with some movement, guy that can work in the run game at all. He's just not going to be that guy, right? He's going to be, and I like your comparison, West Coast fullback, H-back type, movement-based player, big slot. You're going to have to utilize his skill sets correctly, but he does have some skills to work with, man. This is a gifted athlete we're talking about. So it has to be a specialized role early on as he develops, but there are some parallels with Delanie Walker. Again, I'm not saying he is going to be Delanie Walker. I'm saying if he does become successful, it is going to be a similar pathway to, I think, how Delanie Walker eventually developed into a very good tight end in the NFL level.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
The only thing that I push back with Delanie Walker, that comparison, I feel like Delanie Walker was much more of a willing blocker than Jaheim Bell was. That's why I don't think he could be successful in the NFL.
Was he?
Not by much, but like I just don't think Jaheim Bell is ever willing, and nor do I want him to try to be willing. I think it's square peg in a round hole. I think he's a gadget in the right situation. I'm going to start us off here with my number five.
Okay.
And it's a guy that I booed you for not having in your top fives. Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona. Dude, I watched this guy 6'5", 245. He ran in the 4.6s. I watched him and I was really excited. Right. I see if there's one of those dart throws that I think could become a tight end, starting tight end in the NFL, I think it's Tanner McLaughlin. I think he's a tremendous athlete. I saw some flexibility and some mobility, some ease in his cuts when he was running routes. And I also see somebody who can be explosive after the catch, after he catches the ball, maybe not necessarily going to completely make a guy miss, but is able to drive forward, use that flexibility that he has to pick up a couple of extra yards.
I don't think he would ever evolve into being like an 1,000-yard receiver, but could he take over and be a starter that has 600-700 yards in the NFL? I could totally see that. I think that his frame, his build, his athleticism is everything that we look for in starting tight ends in the NFL. And I think there was a little bit of a separation for me when I compared him to some of these other guys.
So, fun backstory, and I know we talked about it last time before we ended up recording a different show, but Tanner McLaughlin, former Southern Utah wide receiver who caught on obviously to Arizona his final 2 years, was highly impactful for Arizona. And I think that no one really talked about him, Joe. It was the weirdest thing in all of the world that he was, because I know some people don't really haven't really paid a ton of attention to the Pac-12 the last 2 years, even though the Pac was actually a lot of fun, especially this past season, you know, with what Oregon was able to do and Washington and those guys. But Tanner McLaughlin was a very productive football player for 2 years for the Wildcats. And I do think that he has a lot of redeemable traits that you can get excited about. I think he does move well. I think he is fluid. I think that he didn't do some stuff after the catch. I mean, they did a lot of things just off of their play action RPO game where they were just throwing him like slides and just kind of, you know, working him underneath of the formation and just getting him out in space a little bit on some flat routes. Like they're trying to get him out in space and get him working a little bit. My biggest hesitation with Tanner McLaughlin is that I just don't think he's ever going to impact the run game, man. It's not that he doesn't have any effort in it. I think he's pretty lightly framed down low. Like I don't think he has a ton of power in his profile. I don't think that he has a ton of just, I just don't think he has a ton of upside in that department, man. Like this for me, and there's nothing wrong with it, I think that he could potentially be a really good tight end too that is working with a guy that's a little bit of more of an inline player, right? If you have a tight end, one, that can really put his hand in the dirt, really do some good things as far as blocking and down blocking and working the move and comboing to the second level and just the impactful things in the run game at the point of attack, I think that Tanner McLaughlin could be a nice secondary pass catcher in a 12 personnel set, you know? But I don't think that I necessarily see a guy that's going to develop into a tight end one on the next level. So that's a little bit of just my slight hesitation with Tanner McLaughlin. Right. Really like the athlete, has developmental upside. Is that good? Is that good, Tanner McLaughlin?
Sure. Yeah. Number five for you is Cade Stover.
No. Number five for Theo me is Johnson. Ben Sinnott from Kansas State is number five for me. Why are you looking at me like that? Why? Why are you looking at me like that? I just don't understand. What?
Wait, you didn't say Theo Johnson in your 10 through 6, right?
I didn't. No, I did not. He's coming up. Oh, my gosh. I know, Joe.
This is the worst. I don't typically have problems with your lists. Yeah. I don't. What? This is the only time that I really hate your list.
What's,
go ahead,
what's Ben Sinnott. What's the issue with it? What's go the ahead, issue
ben
with it?
Ben Sinnott shouldn't be number five. Ben, go ahead, though.
Ben Sinnott, another guy that is not an inline tight end. He is a move chess piece. He is a guy that is going to work a lot as an H, motion across the formation. I think he blocks well in space. I think he lacks power off the point of attack, so I don't think he's going to be a true inline tight end. But I think he's a very loose athletes. He can run routes, and I think that he brings just a solid overall athleticism profile to the table. I wouldn't say he's necessarily an after catch guy, but he can run routes. He can in and out of his breaks. He can catch the football at the highest point, and I think he's a smooth overall athlete. So good player, Joe. Just again, lacking one trait that I think will develop into a tight end one on the next level. That's the whole sticking point.
I was blown away, and I think the reason why I really like him, he's my number four, so good transition here.
Why are you yelling at me if he's five for me and four for you? Why are you yelling at me?
I thought he was my number three for a second, and then I realized he wasn't.
You're an idiot.
He's my number – I still think number five is – five under Stover for me, I don't like. That's kind of where I'm getting at. And also Theo Johnson, I don't like. The reason why I like Ben Sinnott, though, is he is – I don't think he's purely pigeonholed in this H-back type of description. I think his size is fine. I think it's good enough for him to be a starting tight end in the NFL. I think that he might not be super strong as a blocker, but I think I see a willingness that can improve, that he could provide some impact. Yeah. I think, though, realistically, he's going to be more of a tight end too. He's going to be more of a, you know, impactful as a second tight end. I don't see that capability for him to be – a full-time impactful starter, but just the athleticism shows up all the time with the ball in his hands after the catch. I think you give him the ball in space and he's somebody who could be a legitimate serious threat. So Ben Sinnott for number four for me. Who is your number four?
So you're telling me that we both had him as a high end tight end too, but you're yelling at me. Okay, perfect. Let's move on to number four. Yeah, number four, Cade Stover, Ohio State. We've talked about it a ton already. I think that he, again, high end tight end too. I think there's a possibility that he could be a low end tight end one in certain situations. He reminds me a whole lot of John Carlson that came out of Notre Dame several years ago to the Seattle Seahawks. And before John Carlson got beat up, he was a pretty passable volume getter, a tight end, and an impactful blocker. I look at Cade Stover, who I don't think quite plays to the athleticism that he tested at. I mean, because he ran 4.65, which is a really good time for Cade. I did not.
By the way, we have to talk about that. His testing
was good. It was good testing,
but then none of it shows up on film. It never shows up on film. No.
He's a physical box out, contested catch point tight end, which I think he does really well at, though. I think he finishes through contact really well. I think he has really strong hands, and he might be, he's not the best blocker in the class, but he's probably top 3 to 4 blocking tight end in the entire class. You know, not just talking about this list, but just like overall.
Top 3.
I mean, man, he could play in line. He could play H. He could be on the move. He could block in space. I mean, like, he's just a good blocker. He's going to be an impactful blocker, I think, on the next level, and he's going to bring that catch point prowess. So I think that he has the opportunity to potentially be a low end tight end one, more than likely high end tight end two. And I just think that the thresholds that he has and the foundation that he has created as far as physicality, power, blocking ability, hand strength, all those things are just going to stay on the NFL level. Like, there's a couple guys below him, Joe, that I'm a little worried about. Like, if they don't develop in area X, area Y, they might be out of the NFL in 3 to 4 years. Like, it's not a certainty that they're going to stick in the NFL. But I think that Cade Stover will be in the NFL in 4 to 5 years. Like, he has at least a sticking point to be a high-end tight end too. I would be surprised if he wasn't a role player in an offense by at least year two.
So I think that's where the difference that we see on him is that I don't think he ever really emerges as that starting tight end. I think that he is going to just primarily be a tight end too. And again, it's just so weird to me when guys like him test so well and none of that shows up on film.
Maybe there's traits to unlock there, Joe. Maybe there's traits to unlock.
He might have ran well. He's stiff. Yeah. Stiff is, I think, the best way to put it. My number three was Jared Wiley from TCU. I fell in love when I watched Jared Wiley, a massive framed kid, 6'7", 260 pounds. And the way that he moves for how big he is just jaw-dropping. I have a feeling that Theo Johnson's probably number three for you. And I think the big difference for me with Jared Wiley and Theo Johnson is that Jared Wiley was a huge problem in a lot of games. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of teams that could not figure out how to stop him. And when I see this takeover ability that happens numerous times throughout a college season, that to me, I think, eventually translates in that he could be a really productive player in the NFL. Again, not saying he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, but he has the skill set to eventually be, in my eyes, a 700-yard number one tight end in an offense. I will concede that I don't see an effectiveness as a blocker, and I can assume that that is probably why you're a little bit down on him.
I mean, down. I he's my sixth tight end.
You're more down on him than I am.
How? What's your grade on him? I have him as a fourth round grade. What do you have, a third on him then, I guess? Is somewhere in that ballpark?
I got a mid third.
So he is the guy that's like, if you ask me out of the group of athletic pass catchers that is not there as an all around tight end, he would be my dart throw. Like, if I could dig a dart throw on early day three, he would be it. Jared Wiley would be the guy because of everything you mentioned, man. I really liked Jared Wiley a lot. I watched his game against, what was his crazy game? Was it Baylor? Yeah, Baylor was the crazy one where you're just like, what the heck? I mean, he had a blown coverage touchdown in that one where he showcased his long speed. But it was more than that, man. It was the subtle nuances at the top of the stem. It was getting in and out of breaks. I mean, the kid is a really talented pass catcher. It's just he is well below average in the run game right now. Like, just well below average, right?
Yeah, but he's big. So it's like this is my whole thing.
Which worries me more.
But he was playing in an offense that, like, didn't really call upon him to need Joe, to be a good blocker. So he's huge. We can teach him how to block. He's not like Jaheim Bell, who's tiny.
They used him as a slot and a number two in 3-by-1 sets a lot. And they would just ask him to block out in space against smaller defensive backs. And it still wasn't great, man. It still wasn't great.
Nah, I'd rather take the big MF-er and coach him up.
Look, man, I like Jared Wiley a lot. I think that I actually agree to the part of what you said. He could develop into a tight end one that is a 700-yard tight end in a season. I could see that. But you know what I could also see is that he doesn't ever develop enough physically to be on the field all the time, right? So I just think the volatility between what the ceiling and the floor is, that's what has me a little worried about Jared. But I love the ceiling, man. The ceiling is exciting, which is why he was tight end 6 for me, man. It was why he was. I like him. 4th-round grade. He would be a very firm dart throw for me athletically. And I think that he's a guy that not enough people are talking about. Like, I think there's a lot of traits he gets very excited about in this class.
All right. Your number 3 is Theo Johnson.
Theo Johnson, Penn State tight end. Kind of what we were just talking about a little bit, Joe. Freaky athleticism, man. Like 6'6 plus, 255 pounds. He ran 4.6 something in the 40. I think it was like 4.63, even though he has been timed faster at that at Penn State, more in the 4.5 range. Athletically, though, if you go look at all his testing numbers in the combine, he was good in every spot. Like every single testing number was really, really good. He ended up testing as an elite athlete according to relative athletic score stuff, right? So we were talking about size. We're talking about wingspan. We're talking about athleticism. He has every tool in the toolbox. And I think the positive is that he played at Penn State, who has traditionally done a good job with developing tight ends. And they asked him to block. And I thought he did some good stuff, right? Like, was it inconsistent? Yes. But it was still there, though. You could still see it, right? And you saw the big catch radius. You saw him working as a seam runner, the smooth athleticism, the straight line explosiveness. It's all there, man. And it got better every year. My biggest hang up with Theo, which is why I still only have a 3rd-round grade on him, is that he didn't get a lot better, right? Like he was just kind of similar for 3 straight years, which again, not bad, but I'm trying to bank on upside and I would like him to see more exponential development over the last couple years, right? Like let's take a big leap instead of just incremental leaps. I want to see a little bit more from Theo, but he's got every tool, man. There's no doubt about it. This kid could end up being a much better pro than he was a college player. But the positives are came from a big program, played against, you know, obviously in the Big Ten of a lot of stack boxes and a lot of pretty good defenses, right? Like he was tested in the run game. He's got the physical profile to be a much better receiver on the next level. The tools are there. Do I have some hangups with him? Am I still think he's a little bit volatile as a prospect? Yes. But I think the athletic gifts are very, very intriguing to say the least.
My problem, actually, I don't have a problem with Theo Johnson, but the reason why I had hangup and I kept him at 6 is I felt him, especially way more often than Jared Wiley, disappears. And I just felt like when I was watching him, there was something that I couldn't really quantify in a description, in a scouting report, or in notes.
Yeah,
that something felt off. And I know that they played in an offense that was really shaky last year, and they've got a new offensive coordinator, Cole Kmetke. I'm a big fan of his, and I think things are going to be better for Drew Allar. But for the fact that the tight ends were the only forms of production for Allar outside of their running backs, for him to not have more yards and more receptions on a game-to-game basis bothered me. And I just felt like there's a lot of plays where he's just like, he's not really doing anything that's really making me feel like he's threatening a defense. So I just worry with someone like him, and the reason why I put him at 6 is that I acknowledge the upside, and then I think that he's going to project out to, or has the potential to be as good as you're talking about. But I just seriously worry that there's a chance that he just kind of disappears and, you know, maybe doesn't really stick around in the NFL. The floor is what frightens me with a guy like that.
Here's the one thing, though, about Theo, which is why I think he will stick around, is that you can't teach 6'6 plus and 255 pounds with 33 plus inch arms, man.
That's like, what I said about Jared Wiley. That's what I said about Jared Wiley at least has the production. That's the difference.
Jared doesn't do anything in the run game, man. He doesn't do anything in the run game.
He'll figure it out.
Hey, man. I think we see Theo differently. I'm just buying a little bit more into the tools than you are. That's all. Just a little bit into development.
doubling up here, we both have Jatavion Sanders.
Brock Bowers at number two.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Jatavion Sanders is yep. one of those guys in this class that we liked over the summer, wanted to see some improvement, and he really improved. He got a lot better, and I was really impressed by the Texas tight end in the way that he showed not only willingness, but more impact as a blocker. Is he anywhere near where he needs to be an impactful blocker in the NFL? Absolutely not. But this is somebody, one of the few guys that I would stamp as a guaranteed day two pick. I think that he is going to go on day two because there is, you said this earlier, that there was a bit of a separation between Bowers and the next tier, and it was just Bowers in the next tier. I would argue it goes Bowers, tier two is Sanders, tier three is the rest of these guys that we just talked about. But the athleticism, the change of direction, I think, is what makes him unique compared to these other guys, because he is a threat with the ball in his hands as a route runner. I could totally see him being an impactful starting tight end in the NFL, assuming he goes somewhere in the second round.
You know what's really weird is that how he tested, he was very bad in the change of direction in the short area stuff, which I thought was just
the testing is all over the place, man. It's like someone cheated.
Seriously. I like Sanders, though, for what he is. He is a modern day yak style tight end that you just want to get the ball in his hands and he makes things happen. He's almost like a backyard throwback type of dude, right? Like he's like one of those dudes that just like he gets the ball short, makes something happen after the catch, breaks multiple tackles. Like he is that just quintessential yak threat at the tight end position. And Joe, I think you mentioned it, which is the biggest thing, because I remember we talked about it in the summer and I was very hot and cold on Jadeveon Sanders, because I'm like, dude, he's a very poor blocker, like very poor. This year, it was a lot better. Like I think you said that there's still a ways to go. Agreed. But the improvements he made as a blocker from 2022-23, I thought was pretty substantial, which is why I think it's heading in the right direction. And again, he's only a true junior, right? So still has some time to grow and develop. I do like Jadeveon Sanders if he is used correctly on the NFL level.
Our number one of the best tight end prospects that's come out in multiple decades. I mean,
best tight end prospect I have ever personally evaluated. Yes.
Brock Bowers from Georgia. I have gone as far as to say, whenever I've gotten asked about him on my guest spots that I've done, I think he is the most well-rounded tight end prospect that we've seen and has the potential to be the most well-rounded tight end in the NFL if everything goes effectively as it could. I'm wary of his injury concerns that have kind of popped up over the past season where he was in and out of the lineup, and he plays a physical position, so it needs to be brought up. But man, I really wish we had a 40 time for this kid, because I think it would be a ridiculous number, because he moves at a way that we just don't see tight ends move. And what makes him so much scarier is that he has improved so much as a blocker. Like he, not only is he shown some meanness and some willingness to bury his nose in some dudes and really get after him, he has also shown a proficiency in his technique. Like, I don't think he's an elite blocker, but like the way that he has progressed and stepped forward shows me that he has an attention to detail and is trying to improve at it. And I think within his first couple of years, he is going to get better and better. He separates, he dominates, he is going to be a weapon. And I love the thought of him ending up with the Jets. I think that the Jets would be such an amazing spot for him to start his career.
Look, man, as a player, he just, it's very cliche to be like, you know, just say things like he moves different and he's a different type of athlete, but like he is, I mean, just flat out, he is. I remember watching Kyle Pitts, Joe, and we used to marvel at him in a straight line, right? Like he would just work down the field and he was so fast and explosive. But I think the thing that we overlooked about Kyle Pitts was like they never really asked him to change direction much at Florida, right? They never asked him to run routes. It was just out-athleting everybody. My favorite thing about Brock Bowers is he can run routes, man, and he can change direction, and he can win after the catch, and he can play boundary. He can play into the slot. He can work in line as a seam runner. He can do a lot of different things. And I would also say this is that I think there's something to be said that in an offense, you want to hear a funny one. I was looking up his freshman year. His freshman year, the wide receivers on that team were Jermaine Burton, George Pickens, Ladd McConkey, and AD Mitchell. They were all the team, okay? Four wide receivers that were on the team. And then the Rosemary Saint, whatever that guy's name is.
Jack Saint, yeah.
Jack Saint. They were all on the team. And who was the leading receiver on that team, Joe?
Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers, man. Sometimes we just don't have to overthink this. This kid is a generational athlete at the tight end position. My only concern, and you mentioned it briefly, durability. It's the only thing. I think the only thing that stops Brock Bowers from becoming a Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber player is durability. The only thing. Athletically, kid's special. The kid is special. I put on Twitter earlier, top three overall player in this class, regardless of positional value, just in a vacuum. The things that are holding us back on hyping him up to, in that vein is one, injuries a little bit in 2023, even though he was still productive when he played. No testing. You mentioned that as well. And then Kyle Pitts. Those are the only three things that are holding people back from fully buying in to the hype of Brock Bowers. Best tight end to come out in a long time. This kid is a blue chip prospect in the 2024 NFL draft.
I can't explain it, but I think the fact that he already at like 21 years old has a receding hairline, and the fact that he's going to be bald eventually, probably really soon. And look,
he's probably like 21.
He is 21. Look, I have no room to talk. My hairline is somebody who's not doing great right now, but his is terrible. I don't know why him eventually being bald makes me think he's going to be even more of a better tight end. I can't explain it. I just feel like it's one of those positions where you can't have hair and you can't have good hair. You just got to be a crazy bald MF-er, and he kind of gives that vibe. He gives me that vibe.
I'm starting to think about tight ends that are bald, and I don't know if there's that many good ones.
I think of Jason Witten's one, and who else am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Jason Witten's the first one that I think
of. Just Jason Witten. Just Jason Witten. Yeah, sure.
He's going to be Jason Witten. All right, that's going to wrap us up on at Joe DeLeon, at Rising Draft. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Drop us a comment below. Let us know what you think of the show. Hit subscribe. And then also make sure you give us a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in, if it is in the pod version. We will be back with our next team draft preview, so stay tuned for that and enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.